I think this is going to be one of those episodes. It's going to have like a part 3, part 12, part 77 about it, because it's honestly just something that comes up a lot in conversations. People ask me a lot of questions about this. They always want to know, how did I know that my husband was the one? Also, I don't know how well you guys can pick up on this, but like, pregnancy exhaustion is so real today. And I just like, I feel like I'm just breathing excessively into the microphone. So I'm not so much apologizing for that, because life is real and real is life. What does that even mean? I'm just letting you guys know that I'm super aware of it. And yeah, welcome to my life. So how did I know that my husband was the one? Literally like the most popular question that I get in my Instagram DMs. And I think that some people are genuinely just asking, like, how did I know that he was the one I wanted to marry? But I do want to back up and dissect the question first, because I do think that some people are asking, how did I know that he was the one? And that is a phrase that we use a lot in dating culture, I think, especially Christian dating culture, of like finding the one that is like, I guess the, you know, just the one that we would marry. And that's a complicated one, because I don't so much believe in the one. I don't really want to get into all of the whys and hows and what's about that right now, because I do think that that's a little bit complex. But I will just at least say for now that I never lived my life looking for the one or waiting for the one, because to give any person the exclusive right to my joy or my happiness would be giving them what I believe only Jesus can give me. And so my ultimate value and my ultimate hope and my ultimate joy is already found in the one who I believe is the one that did save me and is my hero and is the best of the best, who I believe is Jesus. And so I do struggle a little bit with considering the option or the concept that my husband is the one, because I struggle with that, giving any human that type of platform in my life. The second thing that I would say on why I'm not really into the whole the one concept and that phrase is I believe that it again gives too much of like a pedestal to one person. And again, in the context of saying my husband is the one that I was to marry, I do think that works better. But to say that like he is the one, I think makes it sound like he is better than other people out there. And I personally believe he is the best. Like, I wouldn't have married the man if I didn't think he's the best. But I would never want to be sitting in a room with like 3 married women and we're all like happily married with wonderful husbands. And I'm the one saying, well, no, I got the one. I got the best man. You guys all got backups. You know what I mean? I believe that I married the best man for me. And I'm, again, like I said, I do think my husband is the best, but I don't want to approach it with a level of arrogance or pride in saying like, well, I got the one. You guys all just got scraps. And maybe that's taking it out of context, but like I said, I get hundreds of messages about this, and I know that there are a lot of people coming from a lot of different places. Another reason why I'm not wild about saying the one, not to put all of our business out there, Aaron and I have, you know, had many different conversations about life and scenarios and things like that, and I was his first wife, and he is my first husband, and no matter how, you know, we vowed at our wedding, you know, till death do us part. And I don't want to have a second husband, and he does not want to have a second wife. God forbid something were to happen. So, but I say that to say we do have friends that have gone through various scenarios and have remarried. And I would never look at a friend whose first spouse, say, just for the sake of this conversation, whose first spouse passed away, and they're now remarried, I would never want to look at that friend and say, well, was the first one the one, or was this one the one? So that's why I struggle with that as well. I believe that there are a lot of incredible, compatible, and capable of marriage material people. I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but there are a lot of incredible people out there in the world. And I'm grateful that I fell in love with and married who I believe is the best person for me. But I never want to parade our relationship around or our marriage around as though I figured out the secret combination or the secret code to something that other people were just oblivious to or that they were not able to figure out. So, yeah, I also think that it just complicates your mindset if you're thinking, I gotta find the one. Because then it's like, I hear so many people, especially young women, well, young men as well, but like afraid to commit, afraid to actually have a conversation about engagement, afraid to actually start the courting process, afraid to move forward in a relationship because they're so nervous that it might not be the one. They're waiting for a sign. They're waiting for God to prop up a billboard on the side of the highway and make it so obvious for them. Because they're so nervous that that person might not be the one. And, you know, my thing is, especially when we're talking about Christian culture and dating and in Christian culture, it's like, are you in a relationship with someone where their life is glorifying God, your life is glorifying God, and your relationship is glorifying God? Then if that's what's up, then great. You're good. It's beautiful. You're both attracted to each other. You both love each other. You both care about each other. You're compatible with each other. You have similar dreams and goals and passions. Then I think it's a beautiful thing. And yeah. So anyways, with that being said, I'm just giving a bit of backstory as to my belief system around the one. How did I know that my husband was the one? I think if you understand all of that with my kind of backstory and belief system on that, then it was a lot, like knowing that about my brain, I guess, it made it a lot easier for me to court, because instead of going on a date, like I never wanted to go on a date with anybody that I didn't see as marriage material. That didn't mean that they had to be perfect. That's just like if I'm just going to use an extreme example. So like I didn't want to marry someone that was like, they were like pro breaking into cars, right? Like I didn't want to marry someone that like broke into cars as a hobby. So say there's a guy out there that's like, yeah, I break into cars every Friday night. It's how I get to and from to work. Then obviously I'm not going to go on a date with him because to me, that was like a non-negotiable, like you can't break into cars. That wasn't actually anything I ever thought of or talked about with Aaron. Maybe we should have that conversation now that we've been married and having his kid. But yeah, like that. So that's just kind of an example as to what I mean. And I didn't have a long list of what it meant to be, I guess, marriage material. Maybe that it could be a completely separate episode. So after, you know, a guy would ask me on a date or after I would, you know, kind of start that first phone call or whatever it might be. And with Aaron and I, it was a phone call because it was long distance. With our first phone call, it wasn't, okay, could he be the one? It was, is this someone that based off of what I already know about them, do I want to spend a lot of my time with them? Which a lot of my time equals up to a date. I think a lot of times, what is the holdup for young Christian people, especially young Christian women, I'm saying you because I'm not single anymore, but it can be a hard time to say yes to a date because you're so caught up in thinking, could I marry this guy? And there's like a fine line to where that's healthy, but then also like where it's super unhealthy. Like I do think it's kind of a fine line. Because you're trying to balance like, okay, these are my morals and convictions and I want our lives to kind of line up in some way. But then at the same time, you believe in grace and mercy and you don't want to be so caught up in what you do every day, you know, what you eat for breakfast every Saturday and where the church that you go and the denomination that you go to and the way that you volunteer at church and what you do on the weekends. You don't want to be so caught up in that you're restricting your life to not even get to know cool people. But then you don't want to be so wishy-washy so that you're just kind of like, whatever, he's breathing, I'll go on a date with him. You know what I mean? So I do get that that's a hard balance to find. Like I said, I I tried to make just kind of my general thing be like, okay, I'm not going to go on a date with you, or, you know, plan like a long phone date, which again, Aaron and I was a long phone date. I'm not going to plan like a long phone date if I don't think that you could be marriage material. But I tried to not so much think of it as perfect 100% right away, which, I mean, no one's ever perfect 100% right away. I feel like I'm making sense, but I also worry that I am going in a circle. So I'm just going to move forward and hope that this all comes together and blame it on pregnancy if it doesn't. And then apologize to the baby when it gets here for all the things I blamed it for. When in actuality, it was just its mom being crazy. But yeah, so the first phone conversation with Aaron, it was like, okay, based on the things that I know about him, is this someone that I want to give a lot of my time to? And yes. And with that, there were some questions that I wanted to ask him. I didn't know a lot about the church that he went to. I didn't know a lot about his upbringing. I really didn't know much about Aaron when we first had our first date, which was a phone call, but we're going to, for the sake of this, we'll call it a date. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a good idea to go out on the first date. Now, again, if I already knew right off the top of my head that he enjoys breaking into cars every Friday night, then I maybe won't say a date. Maybe I'll just hang out with him and some friends and I'll kind of find a way to get to that question. Like, yo, is this breaking in cars thing because you don't have money and you need to be forgiven and you know that? Or is it because you think it's awesome and you plan on teaching your children that someday? And I think that's where the grace and mercy thing comes in. So anyways, that was the first date. And then after that first date, again, the question wasn't, well, I fell in love really fast, but the question wasn't necessarily, is this someone I want to marry? Is this the one? It was yet again, is this someone that I want to spend more of my time with and more time getting to know? And the answer for me was yes. And the answer for Aaron was yes. And so we just continued on talking and dating and courting. And with every phone call, it grew and grew. And so I say that to say, when people are asking me, how did you know that your husband was the one, or how did you know that your husband was the one that you would marry? It wasn't so much that I ever asked myself that question. It just started out as, is this someone that I want to spend more time with? And the question was always yes, until it got to the point was, is this someone that I want to spend every day with? And then it became yes. And then eventually the question was, is this someone that I want to spend the rest of my life with? And that was an immediate yes. Now, those questions, I believe that if you are intentional, if you are prayed up, if you are involving wiser, God-fearing people in your life in the process, I believe that you'll find yourself answering those questions without ever asking those questions. You'll start to say things around your friends like, I want to see him again. I want to spend more time with him. I wonder what he's doing right now. I want to text him this random picture of this thing in the grocery store that I saw because he told me that he ate this when he was 9. And I'm thinking about him because I'm in the grocery store and I wish he was here, and I wish he was here every day, and I wish I could see him every day. And I wish we were talking about toothpaste and what kind of toothpaste he likes. And I just wish that he was here buying toothpaste with me because I wish that we shared a bathroom. Oh my gosh, I wish we shared a bathroom. What was his need? You know, as you're like going through every person's different. Every relationship is different, but those kinds of things happen naturally. And I understand if you're the kind of girl out there and you want the answers, you want the plan, you want to map it out, you want to know exactly how you're going to know he's the one. I get that because I was that way. And a lot of it with Aaron and I was me having to let that go in my heart, me having to let it go that I'm not going to know exactly everything perfectly, that we're not going to be able to lay out a blueprint of exactly how our lives are going to go. You know, as much as I think our story is beautiful, so much of our story was about taking chances. I mean, he flew halfway across the country with his mom to meet me and my parents, and I hadn't seen this guy in over a year. And he hadn't seen me in over a year. And we're just taking the chance that our parents aren't going to make it super weird and that we're not going to hate each other and this isn't going to be the worst thing in the world. Like, it was a lot of like taking chances and and trusting and having faith that that God was going to work it out, whether we ended up together or not. Like it was scary, and it was intimidating at times, and it was frustrating when I felt like I didn't have all the answers that I wanted. And even when we had that wonderful, you know, weekend of us and our families getting to know each other, and we had said, "I love you" in person. And, you know, we had gone on actual in-person dates, and we were just so emotionally connected. When he went back to St. Louis after that weekend, I remember calling my best friend, Kristen, and I remember telling her that I told him that I loved him. And, but I also remember still being a little afraid, even though we had already said, you know, we essentially wanted to get married and that would be the beautiful ending, not ending, but that would be the beautiful next step of the relationship. It was still scary. It was still a risk worth taking. And so I'm not sharing this to tell young women like, "Oh, just go out and say you love people and just, you know, see how much time you want to spend with them." You still got to be prayed up. You still have to be intentional. You still have to be wise about it, but allow your heart the freedom and the peace and the rest to know that you're not going to be able to figure everything out step by step before it happens. Like I said, as you're talking, as you're praying, as you're sharing, you know, updates with friends and mentors and pastors and parents about the relationship or about the date, about the courting process, if they are wise, hopefully they will start asking you certain questions, but you'll just begin to answer certain questions that aren't even being asked of you. And if you're intentional and you listen to these things, it'll be beautiful. Journaling is also a wonderful thing. I did a lot of journaling. I've actually been journaling since I was like 5 because I was homeschooled, but I was very intentional about journaling through the course. I just did like a mouth fart. That wasn't like a normal fart. So I was very intentional about journaling through the courtship process with Aaron. It wasn't an excessive long amount of poetic journaling, but just after dates, I would write down how I felt. And, you know, if I was stressed about something, I would write that down. And that's really helpful to go back and to, you know, kind of see what questions are you answering without even asking or without anyone asking those questions. And that'll really help you get an understanding of who this person is, to you and how much time you want to spend with them in the future. And it'll also help you with developing intentional questions to ask them in the future. Because obviously you want to be on the same page with them as well. But, with that being said, you also want to understand where your heart is and where your feelings are before you take them to the significant other, before you take them to the guy that we speak of. You want to understand your own feelings and what's going on in your own life. And whether things turn out how you expect them or not, know that your feelings are beautiful and your intentions are your intentions. And all of this is a part of bettering you as a human and growing as a human. And don't beat yourself up for any of this stuff. Like, you're learning, you're growing, and someday all of the pieces will fall into place and you'll look back and you'll be like, "Wow, it's a beautiful story. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful that God did what he did." So yeah, to everyone asking, how did I know that my husband was the one? I hope that was helpful. If not, I'm sorry. That's as real and raw as I can be. That's how I knew that he was the person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and I'm grateful that he still is, and I know that he always will be. Ugh, sappy. Okay. Hit me up on Instagram if you have any more questions at Jamie Grace H. I'm also on Twitter at Jamie Grace H. It's 8:40. It's my bedtime. It's my first bedtime. It's the bedtime where if I don't go to sleep in the next half hour, I'll be up till 2 a.m. So I'm going to go to sleep. But thank you guys for listening to my podcast. You're wonderful people. Hit me up on YouTube as well. I've got new videos coming out once a week. Who knows what day. But yeah, thanks for listening to the Jamie Grace podcast. You're wonderful humans. And I will talk to you guys later. Okay, bye.